Hi, I'm Corey.
And I'm Dominic.
And we're the media services team here at Family Talk. Hey, Dom, do you know what kind of cars elves drive?
No, what?
Toyotas.
Oh, man. You know, what kind of music do elves listen to?
What?
Chicka, chicka, chicka. Rap. We hope that you and your family have a great holiday season.
Merry Christmas.
Welcome to Family Talk, the radio ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, thanking you for joining us today for what is going to be a very special radio program. Throughout the entire month of December, we are highlighting the broadcasts that were the most listened to during the past year. So sit back and enjoy this popular program from 2019 right here on this special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Today on Family Talk.
The recent recognition and reestablishment of Jerusalem as Israel's capital was a historic decision by the United States. But according to today's guest on Family Talk, this monumental declaration was predicted by the ancient Jewish years of Jubilee. Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk, a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, with your host, psychologist and popular author, Dr. James Dobson. In just a moment, Dr. Dobson will wrap up his now three-day conversation with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Rabbi Kahn is New York Times bestselling author and senior pastor and messianic rabbi at Jerusalem Center Beth Israel. Rabbi Kahn is also an international speaker and serves as president of Hope of the World Ministries. Over the past couple of days, Rabbi Kahn has talked with Dr. Dobson about his latest book called The Oracle, where they examined specific years of Jubilee and how they have forecasted significant occurrences in Israel's history. Today, the two men will inspect how current events factor into this revelation as well. Rabbi Kahn also will share what this prophecy suggests for the future of Israel and those in the faith community. Once again, we have a lot of ground to cover today, so let's dive right in. Here now is the conclusion of Dr. Dobson's conversation with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn on this edition of Family Talk.
There's a whole mystery behind Harry Truman that goes back to an ancient king in the Bible that's amazing. 11 minutes after Israel came back in the world, Harry Truman, America becomes the first nation to recognize Israel. 11 minutes after. But Truman's whole life is going to parallel King Cyrus, and he'll never know it until the end. Truman not only recognized Israel, as Cyrus did, but Cyrus actually told the Jewish people, he released them from exile and said, go back home, go back home. What people don't realize is Truman, he sends word to the British Empire and says, you have all these exiles from the Holocaust, you send them home. Basically, it becomes an order. They don't want to do it. He says, come home. And because of that, thousands of Jewish people start returning to the land before Israel becomes the nation. A year after he recognizes Israel, a rabbi comes to the White House. You see, Cyrus had Isaiah to say, you're used of God. The chief rabbi of Israel comes to the White House and he says to Truman, God put you in your mother's womb just for that moment that you could bring Israel back into the world. God put you. And then the rabbi opens up and he starts reading of Cyrus the king. And starts reading his declaration.
We need to explain. Now, Cyrus was
the one who let them go back.
Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar had fallen. And
70 years in exile. And then God raises up Cyrus to say, you can go home now. He's the one who released the Jewish people.
He helped them
rebuild
the wall.
To rebuild the temple. Yeah, yeah. He says that. Yeah, he's the one who issues the declaration. It's in everybody's Bible. And so the rabbi's reading the words of Cyrus to Truman. And Truman says, was I used of the Lord Almighty? And he says, yes. He breaks down and weeps in the White House. Weeps in the White House. Remember I told you about Mark Twain? Of course. But Truman tells the story of why he recognized Israel. His own State Department was fighting him. They didn't want Israel to be recognized. So finally, he's battling back and forth. And he goes in the White House. He sees words. He says, those words, I saw a quote, those words led me to do it. It was the words of the stranger, Mark Twain. The words of the stranger. It was Mark Twain's own word that brought Israel back into
How'd
the world.
How'd you figure that out? How'd you find
that? You know, that one, I'm in Israel on a tour, and my tour guide says, did you ever hear this? He plays me a tape of Harry Truman. I mean, this is how it happens with my books. I mean, yeah. I don't plan this. Harry Truman telling the story of why he recognized Israel, and he said it was those words of Mark Twain. He has no idea where Mark Twain is. And Mark Twain has no idea he's going to be used like that. And then, last thing, God always does something. When something's ending, he does another thing. In the days of that Cyrus, the next Cyrus is born. Donald Trump is born under this American Cyrus Truman. And he's going to also fulfill this Cyrus thing in an amazing way. And not that he knows what he's doing. That's one. There's several mysteries about Donald Trump, but one of them is that. And one of the mysteries we'll touch on actually is going to, in a sense, prophesy the exact date that Donald Trump is going to do what he does. And it's all part of the mystery of Donald Trump. That's it.
You know, I'm reminded that you majored in history in college, and history is very important to you, and it's important to me. And hearing you describe all these events, I come up with one phrase. This is God-breathed.
Yes.
All of human history is
yes.
God-breathed.
Yes.
There's not a
yes.
thing that happens that he doesn't control.
Yes.
There's nothing that he doesn't know about.
Yes.
And we get the
yes.
feeling sometime that we're all alone and God's not talking and we're concerned about what's going on in our lives.
Yes.
He's there.
Yes.
And he controls that too.
And he's, yeah, and that's one of the things too is like a lot of times in our life, look, we don't always see what God's doing in our life. And a lot of times we wonder, you know, but look, Israel wondered for 2,000 years, but God had everything according to his plan. Every prophecy was fulfilled, jot and tittle. And same with our lives. There's times in our lives he lifts up the veil and we look, wow, okay, Lord, you did that. But at the time we often don't see it, but we got to believe because and when we get to heaven, the whole veil's, we're going to say, whoa, Lord. But he gives us little glimpses, but he's the God of our life. It's also very personal because it's about all
of
our lives.
Now we see through a dark glass, but then we will see face to face and we will know even as we are now known.
As we are now known.
Boy, isn't that going to be something?
Yeah, I can't wait, really. And the Lord is real. God is, it's not just you're saying this and you're, it seems like things are out of control and Christians are on the defensive. Listen, you're on the defense. You're the child of this king. That he's the king of everything. We will see at one point, even the American elections are part of this mystery.
America apparently doesn't appear much in history in the end time events, or does it? What's your take on that?
Well, America is used. Some people say, okay, the refuge of an eagle and all that, but I don't think there's any specific thing. But America is certainly very important. But what I believe it means is, before the end comes, America is not going to be on the pinnacle of power as it is today, because it's not at the very end. I mean, it says all nations will come against Israel.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's why we have to vote. But all nations will come against Israel. So America has been used gigantically in God's plan to recognize Israel, to save the Jewish people, even here on these shores, to bless Israel. It's crucial. America's been crucial, amazing. But in the very end, it's not there. It's not the head of nations that it was.
Is there any clue as to why?
I think we can see clues around us. You know, America has been blessed because it followed God, and America's blessed because it blessed Israel. God said it.
We're toying with both.
I mean, things are dramatically falling in the culture. Right now, we're in a time where there's a window kind of holding things back politically. But once, if that goes, the flood is open. You know, God's still on the throne, though. Remember that. And we just we'll have a little bit more radical calling.
Hmm. Well, we're now in the
third
day
a lot.
Of this trilogy, if you can call it that. And we've got a little bit of time left. We've gone through three of the doors.
Okay.
You want to go to four?
Yeah. Let me
or
just.
Or you want to skip one?
Let me just throw in two quick things and then we'll go. There is something called the Jubilee Code in the Oracle, and that is this.
That's what you refer to on the cover.
The Jubilee Mysteries, but within that there's a code. And the first time God ever said to Israel, you shall return, the first time is in Leviticus, the law of the Jubilee. You shall return to home to your ancestral possession. You shall return. In Hebrew, the word you shall return, it's all one word. It's the word teshuvu. Teshuvu, in Hebrew, when you speak about a year, you don't use numbers, you use Hebrew letters. Every Hebrew letter has a number, has a numerical value. Well, amazing thing, Dr. Dobson. When you look at the first command where God said, you shall return, the numerical value identifies 1 year. The year is 1948.
Uh-huh.
When Israel returned.
Is it really?
Yes. When Israel returned to the world. And Dr. Dobson, on the day that Israel was resurrected on the earth, there was an appointed, it happened to be a Sabbath. There was an appointed word. They opened up the scrolls and you know what the word was? The word was God saying, in that day, I will raise up the fallen tabernacle of David. I will end the exile of my people. I will plant them back in the land. I will rebuild Israel as in the days of old. They're chanting it all around the world, and God is raising it up on the very same day.
And when is that going to be fulfilled?
Oh, no, that one, 1948, when they were born.
I see.
When they came back, that was the word said
but
all around.
But isn't the temple going to be rebuilt?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe that's part of it. And that's part of the kind of, I believe even Donald Trump and what he did, which we'll get to that one, is part of this mystery of the temple. Yes.
Because well, let's link into Donald Trump for a minute. There are Christians out there who say, how in the world could a man with that kind of language and that kind of history with three families and so on, how could God use him? But in fact, he does, doesn't he?
How can God use Cyrus? How can God use Assyria? God always does.
How did he use David when David killed a man and took his wife?
Yeah.
And yet the scripture says David was a man after God's own heart.
Yeah. Thank God, because if he didn't use imperfect people, we'd all be finished in ministry. So, I mean, I would be. Thank God he does, but he's sovereign. And that's one of the glories. It doesn't mean he's endorsing everything Cyrus did or everything Truman did or everything Trump does. It's simply that God will have his purposes. God will have his ways. I'll give you an example, a very big example people don't realize. And this is in the fourth door. We know about the Six-Day War in Jerusalem.
Yes.
You know, well, when did that happen? You count 50 years from 1917, next Jubilee, 1967, year of Jubilee. Next restoration. You know, Jesus is not coming back until Jewish people are back in Jerusalem. So it had to happen. But you know why it happened? People don't know this. It was the Soviet Union, the anti-Bible, godless, anti-Christian Soviet Union. They started the Six-Day War. They sent word to the Arab world that Israel was going to attack them. It was a lie. But the Arab world says, now we're going to wipe out Israel. Thus, the Six-Day War. And through that, the Soviet Union fulfilled biblical prophecy. Can God use Donald Trump? He can use the Soviet Union. He can use everything and anything. He's the God of everything. Six-Day War, there's a prophecy from Isaiah that says God will fight, come down and fight for Jerusalem as the lion and the young lion. He'll fight for Jerusalem. In the Six-Day War, the soldiers enter the gates of Jerusalem after 2,000 years. Year of Jubilee, everyone shall return home. As they come through the gate, the first two are, we don't have to remember the names, but they're the commander Mata Gur and commander Arik Achman. The two come to the Temple Mount and they say, we have the Temple Mount, Jerusalem. They come to the wall. The prophecy says God will fight for Jerusalem in that hill as a lion and the young lion. The name Mata Gur means young lion, and the name Arkach means the lion. The lion and the young lion are the ones who first entered as God was fighting. And you know the gate that they entered? The lion's gate. That's how Israel gained back Jerusalem. And why? Because Jesus is coming back to this Jerusalem, not like a lamb, but like a lion.
Rabbi, your book is called The Oracle, and all of these things we've been talking about are in here and a whole lot more. Why is the Jewish community, and I'm speaking of the non-believing Jewish community, not seeing themselves in this? If there's anything I've heard in these three programs is that it is so clear you can't miss it.
You can't miss it. But, you know, that was always the thing that I said growing up. How could you not believe in the Messiah, Jesus, when he fulfilled everything like that? Paul says there's kind of a veil. There's a veil, yeah. And I'm praying that that the oracle will go also to Jewish people and to Israel, even to Netanyahu, who's also in here. But the time is coming.
Is there any evidence in any of your books so far that it's making inroads there?
Well, the gospel is spreading in Israel. There is a revival. There are Jewish believers now. They never were for 2,000 years. And there's a mystery that's part of it, because part of the restoration is the Jewish people not just coming back to the land, but coming back to Messiah. And when the Jewish people come back to the land, they always come back to God in some way. So it's beginning. I mean, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't, you know. So that's all part of the mystery. The oracle does go into the future, and it goes into Donald Trump and the future. And we're in a very critical time right now. The last one was the Six-Day War. What happens if you go to the next door or the next Jubilee? When is it? Count 50 years from the 1967, it takes you to 2017. Did anything happen in that year linked to Israel, restoration? In the year of Jubilee, you don't just go home to your land. You get the legal right and recognition. You know, Israel never got that. When Israel came back to Jerusalem, the whole world refused to this day to recognize Jerusalem. But in the year of Jubilee was 2017. In the year of Jubilee, it happens. And it happened through President Donald Trump, that he issues the Jerusalem Declaration, and he's the first which recognizes Jerusalem belongs to the Jewish people, Jubilee. It is their capital. You know how significant this was? This is the first time any president did this or any king since ancient times. Since ancient times.
Does Donald Trump know this?
No. I don't think he's studying Leviticus to fulfill this. I mean, I don't think he's doing that.
Somebody must have told him.
I don't know. Well, let me tell you how exact this is. When the Jubilee comes, what's the sign? The sounding of the horn, of the trumpet. Horn. When the soldiers came back in the last Jubilee, the moment they got to the wall, they hear the trumpet sounding. Why? A man is blowing the trumpet. His name is Rabbi Goren. He's blowing the trumpet. But in the Jubilee, and he wasn't doing it because of Jubilee, he just did it. But the Jubilee, the land returns to its original state. What was the Temple Mount originally? It was a threshing floor. Threshing floor in Hebrew is Goren. The rabbi who blew it, his name is Goren, Rabbi Threshing Floor. So he's on the threshing floor, blowing the trumpet. He was born in the year 1917, the other Jubilee. So he's 50 years old, sounding the Jubilee. Do you know? And his name has another meaning, and the name is Horn. It's Rabbi Horn sounds the horn of the Jubilee at the moment. And by the way, Dr. Dobson, there is a mystery that every Jubilee, a child is born who plays the key role when he turns 50 in the next Jubilee, from 1800s to right now. I mean, it's crazy. It's God, you know. So now where we are, we're here in this Jubilee, 2017. Who was the leader of the land? Trump. What does Trump mean in English? It means the trumpet. Trumpet. So you have a trumpet, a man named Trumpet. He comes to power in the year of Jubilee when the trump has to sound. And he's been sounding ever since. And so the trump sounds. And what happens when the trump sounds? When the trump sounds, the original owner gets the right to the land. So he sounded and Jerusalem went to the Jewish people. I mean, was recognized around the world. And when Trump was born, there was a scripture that was appointed. It's the mystery of Donald Trump. So Trump is being brought forth, and the scripture is God saying, you will bring forth the trump or the trumpet. You will bring forth the trump of God. And the trump will sound in the year of Jubilee. So his whole life was waiting, the trump and the Jubilee, for the year of Jubilee. Cyrus issued his declaration after 70 years, the 70 years of captivity. Could Trump, because his declaration is even closer to Cyrus than Truman, could that have been at the end of a 70-year period for Israel? Go back 70 years, and where does it take you? 1947, the year Israel comes back into existence. It's the end of the 70-year period. And what that means is, if we knew the mystery, we could say 70 years from now, there will be a leader who will come to world power, and he will issue a declaration concerning Jerusalem, because that's what the mystery says.
Couldn't be a coincidence.
No, it means he had to be elected. Yeah. They mean we had to have an election at 2016 for him to come to power at the end of this, at the 70th year. That election had to come out as it did for that to happen, because the 70th year was coming and the Jubilee was coming.
Do the Dead Sea Scrolls figure into
all of this?
I've figured it.
All right. Yes, here's the thing. When God ever does something, he always does his word first. You know, creation, first is the word, then comes the universe. When he brings Israel to existence, first comes a word, and then comes the nation. So when they come back to the Israel, the Jewish people, he always restores the word. So a shepherd is following this goat. The goat goes into a cave or near a cave. He throws a rock in, crash, hears the crash of pottery. It's the Dead Sea Scrolls, the oldest Bible in the world by 1,000 years. Everybody's saying the Bible is written later. This is the Bible from the time of Jesus. So God is restoring his word. And when? 1947, just before he restores Israel. So first comes the word, then comes the nation. Beyond that, the man who first opens up the Dead Sea Scrolls is a guy named Eleazar Sukenik. He opens up the scrolls. He's the first one to see, I can't believe what I'm seeing. He opens it up the night that he opens it up. It's in his apartment. He's seeing the words for the first time. It's coming to light. His son is running into the room back and forth and saying, Daddy, did you hear what happened? Because he's listening to the radio. Across the world, something's happening. The day that the Dead Sea Scrolls came back into the world after 2,000 years was November 29th, 1947, the day that Israel came back into the world, the exact same day.
I have the feeling that we could sit here for another month and you wouldn't run out of these examples of things that's going on.
No, it's amazing.
It must just really shock even you to see how
it does
relevant all this
it,
is.
It does shock, and yet, like, this is God, but it does shock us. I'll throw this in because we can get it to the end. The sixth door speaks about the future. You know, the seventh door will remain a mystery. Okay, the sixth door is the future. But just to say this, what is the mystery of the Jubilee? return. You shall return. Everyone shall return. But here's the thing, Dr. Dobson. It's not just the Jewish people returning to their land. If the Jewish people, it's also the world. The Jewish people are returning to where they were at the beginning of the age when Jesus was here. They were in Israel. So they're back. They're back. Everything is back. Where was the world 2,000 years ago at the beginning? It was not Christian. It was
Roman.
Roman, pagan, anti-Christian, anti-Bible. What are we witnessing in the world now? The world is returning to its original state, just as the Jewish people were. World culture is returning anti-Christian, un-Christian, throwing off Christianity, mainstream culture. It's part of the mystery of return. There's going to be another showdown, but it's part of the mystery of return. But the good return, if that's happening, where was the church 2,000 years ago? It wasn't rich. It wasn't established. It was the book of Acts. It was powerful. It was revolutionary. It was radical. It was changing the world. God is calling the true believers to stand in this day to become again as the book of Acts. The power of God's Spirit, the power of the gospel. God is calling us to become like the apostles, like the disciples. And if we see the world getting worse, it's okay, because that's a sign that it's time for us to shine like that. In fact, they go together.
Do you see a revival coming?
I believe there can be revival. I believe the overall long-term picture is this other one. But I believe within that there can be revival. And we have to pray for that. Do I see it with my eyes? No. Do I see it with the culture? No. But I believe there can be revival. But God is looking for those who will stand. You know, he says the eyes of the Lord is searching the earth, seeking for the one whose heart is his. You know, we need to be that one. God is calling us. We are not to fear what's happening, because God knew it, you know, and God's coming again. But we're here for such a time as this. This could be the most exciting time. It could be the most dramatic time, because when the dark gets darker, the lights are called to get brighter. And that's usually how it works. For those who will stand, people will fall away. But if you will stand, listening out there, totally for God, he will lift you up. And this will be our greatest time. The power of God will shine, as in the book of Acts. And the ultimate jubilee is there's someone, you know, jubilee is someone was separated from their home, has to come back. Well, this all is about someone else, because the Jewish people are coming home because he is coming home. Our king, this is the ultimate jubilee, is the king is coming, was separated from the kingdom. He's coming back home. When the Jewish people say, blessed are you, his feet stand on the Mount of Olives, and then comes the jubilee. Then the lion lays down with the lamb, and then he'll wipe the tears from our eyes. Mm-hmm. Then we'll be home. Our entire salvation is jubilee. We're coming home. It's God is bringing us home, and he's restoring us. That's what it's all about.
Jonathan, what do people do when you preach this message?
Well, I started the series on this, and I'm not even finished at Beth Israel. People were going, wow, 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 you got to tell other people, not just us. This has got to go forth. Wow, wow. Blown away by the Lord, because the Lord blows us away.
Yeah.
It's just what an honor to serve God. You know, we're not worth it. What an honor and a joy to
carry the banner.
What an honor.
I think there's going to be tribulation for people like you and me. I really believe that's coming.
I believe that.
But it's okay.
It's okay. Yes. Yeah. The apostles were also persecuted, and yet look what God did through them. He changed the world. I'd rather be with them. I'd rather than with the world with majority. You know, it's always like we want to show our love to God. It's one thing to stand with him when everything's quote Christian culture. It's a whole nother thing when it's not. This is when it counts. This is when it means something. You know, this is our hour. This is our hour. We get to heaven, we're going to thank God we had this chance to stand for him and shine. And God wants all of us. It's not just us on the microphone. God wants all of you at home. This, if he has a plan for Israel, he's got a plan for you. He put people in their mother's womb, like all these Truman, Donald Trump, Cyrus. He put you in your mother's womb. So listen, God has something great, but rise to it. You know, do what you have to do. You know, return. Come home. You know, leave this up. Whatever's hindering you, leave it. The hour is too important, and your calling is too important. God has called us, and we are honored to stand at this hour for the King of Kings.
Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, my goodness, what a fascinating and deeply inspirational 3 days this has been. I appreciate you coming and writing this book. My prayer is that this will sell a million copies.
Praise God.
You've sold 3 million of The Harbinger. This is one that ought to go around the world,
praise
and
God.
I pray that it will.
Thank you so much. I pray for believers and also for unbelievers, to people to give it to unbelievers as well.
Thanks for coming all this way to be with us.
My joy.
You'll do it again, won't you?
Anytime.
My joy. This was the 11th time we've done a radio program.
Wow.
Let's go for 12, shall
we? Okay. Amen.
Give your family my love and my regards.
I will, Dr. Dobson. Thank you.
And you're going to speak for us next year. You've already committed. I'm not going to let you out.
I'm coming home. I'm return. I have to return. I'm preaching Jubilee. I got to return. Yes.
Blessings.
God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed Dr. Dobson's three-part conversation with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn here on Family Talk. Be sure to go to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org for more information about Rabbi Kahn and his latest book, The Oracle. Once you're there, you'll also see a link for how you can order a physical copy of this interview as well. Now, we know you'll want to revisit this captivating program again and again. You may even want to share it with your loved ones. So to get your CD copy of this or any of our past interviews, click on the order button on the broadcast page. You'll find all that information and much more when you go to drjamesdobson.org and hit the broadcast tab. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I hope you'll join us again next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.